This podcast contains explicit language.
Beep!
Good work. All right. This is the Quiet Podcast cast. Did I say pod podcast? I think I did.
Yes, you did.
The Quiet Podcast. This is Carlos.
And this is Dave.
Two Fat Games. That's not going to work. Two Fat Guys Talk Games. And wait, there are no friends today. It's just you and me. Yeah.
Wow.
Dave, how are you doing?
An actual you and me podcast.
Indeed, the two fat guys who talk games alone at last. So, how the hell have you been doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, can't complain. What have you been playing?
You and I have both been playing Skullgirls.
That is correct.
And I must say, Pain Wheel kicks my ass almost every time.
I've encountered some pretty brutal Pain Wheels online. I won enough ranked matches with Cerebella that I think they bumped me up to the next tier, and now everyone's kicking the shit out of me, so I have to go back to the drawing board.
This is a good thing. I would pay to watch this.
You can. Just give me $5 and come over.
But what I mean by pay is you just have me over and I watch you get your ass kicked.
That works too.
And then do it myself.
If I'm at my stick, my friend. Oh boy, stick innuendo.
Eh, it's tiny. I'm fine.
Stick innuendo. Continue. What else have you been playing?
Finished Mass Effect 3.
Cool.
And a big call out to all the losers who want the ending to be changed. You guys suck. Couple little PSN games here and there. Haven't touched my Xbox in weeks. And SSX is still fun. How about you?
Good to hear. I have also been playing Skullgirls. I have the 360 version. Been playing ranked matches online. Loads and loads of fun. Very well-designed game. Highly recommend it. I've also been playing Harmony of Despair, grinding out my items. And that other game, I forget. Yes, Raiden 4, a shoot-em-up. Unlike past Raidens, very bullet hell-esque, where your ship has a small hitbox, and there are loads and loads and loads of bullets. It is a fun game to play on an arcade stick.
I'll take your word for that.
It's easier to react, I find, because I liked playing those games in arcades, like Gigawing, which I finished without continuing and got the real ending to in arcades. I was very proud of myself. All right, good podcast.
So, for our first topic of the day is Skullgirls.
Yes.
Its success, any real problems with it? What up? I'll let you start this one off, Carlos.
It has been on the top 10 charts in various positions on Major Nelson's site, I think. I was reading about that on Shoryuken. So, it's making its money, and hopefully that means more characters and DLC and various bells and whistles that were missing from the release, like the in-game move list. Not a crippling problem that it's not there, but it is nice to have. And various other features, like the extra section, which right now is populated with descriptive text that says, coming soon.
Yes, I noticed that.
So far, it seems people on Shoryuken have a high opinion of the game. Lots of metagame stuff coming out. It seems like the single character teams are not going to be viable for too much longer, because there are lots of setups and touch of death combos being worked out that involve teams of at least two, which I think was the goal anyway. Mike Z wasn't trying to make a one versus one game. The option is there, but it's definitely a team game, and assists and delayed hyper combos or outtakes or blockbuster sequels, whatever they're called in this game, are definitely a big part of it. But so far, I'm having tons of fun. It looks great, plays great, has great music. I went through the story mode. The story is compelling and interesting. I'm not going to say it's the Oscar-winning narrative or anything, but it definitely is intriguing. It's a great package for $15. Well worth it, especially compared to, I don't know, Street Fighter Cross Tekken, or Street Fighter 4, or Street Fighter 3 for that matter.
Yeah, and you loved Street Fighter 4.
I love that. That sarcasm there. I played it a lot because I knew lots of people who played it, but it really was a bit flawed game. Still better than Street Fighter 3, though. At least there was positioning in Street Fighter 4. Not a lot of it, but it was there.
Just on a side note there, then, what was better, Street Fighter 4 or Street Fighter X Tekken?
Well, I'm going to say Street Fighter 4 just because I don't have to buy gems. Yeah. I didn't buy Street Fighter Cross Tekken, so I can't make a fair comparison, because I'm 99.6% certain Street Fighter Cross Tekken is a giant pile of garbage. At least Street Fighter 4 isn't. It's just a small pile of garbage. So Street Fighter 4, hands down, winner.
Yay! Okay. Any problems that you've come across in Skullgirls?
Yeah. There's a glitch with the Xbox 360 version where sometimes, even outside training mode, your character will briefly turn into hitboxes. It's very brief, but it's kind of jarring when your character suddenly turns into just a bunch of green boxes and then back right away in a fraction of a second. It looks buggy, and it is a bug.
Hmm. Can't say I've come across that in the PSN version.
That's because I don't think it has it. I think this is a 360 bug only, from what I've been reading. The online matchmaking is very strong. It uses GGPO netcode. Very smooth. However, there's some interface niggles, let's say. Some mini interface problems where you go into a ranked match, and if you try to join a match and someone else joins before you, it doesn't just automatically try to put you into another ranked match. It just says that room is no longer available with no other prompt. You have to actually hit B to back out and hit quick match again. But a minor issue, and yeah, that's about it. There's no in-game move list, which is a minor issue. It really should be there, but everyone who has internet got this game and can look up a move list. It'll be nice to have it in line, though, when it's eventually patched in.
I agree. I've read a couple of reviews. The biggest complaint that people seem to be coming up with is the fan service part of it.
I've read the reviews that have complained about that, and I have not read a single valid argument about the supposed sexualization of this game. I'm not sure what weird fantasy land these people live in where these are sexually enticing characters and they just are getting such raging boners they can't focus on their day, but they seem very cartoony, way unrealistic proportions, and they're all consistent. They have that consistent cartoony look about them. I don't get that criticism.
I've got to agree with you. I thought it was rather stupid. The reviews I've been reading that have pointed that out as a major downside, that it was going to lose people to other fighter games because they had done this, the massive panty shots and anime-u style fan service. It comes across as, you know, Street Fighter elitism, if you will.
I have two issues with those criticisms. The first, it's not anime. They're anime-inspired things, and they're things inspired from old American cartoons and various other animation styles.
Yep.
The second is, has anyone even played a King of Fighters game? Mai is a sex object. That is her entire purpose. These characters are not supposed to be sex objects. They're voluptuously stylish women in their world, which is the norm in their world. All the background characters are this way too. And they're all weird and wacky and curvy. And none of them are, like, there to be objectified. They're to be just an object or a man's plaything. As opposed to Mai in King of Fighters, which is there purely, purely to get money from people who like Mai. Because she's bouncy. Or Cammy. Or, I don't know, all of our Kanahart. Like, people levy complaints of sexism towards Skullgirls. It's not warranted. A skimpy outfit doesn't mean sexy. Princess Peach is sexist, and she dresses very conservatively.
Wait,
these reviewers have no
Peach
clue.
Is sexist?
Princess Peach is the most sexist character ever made. She's a woman whose place is firmly in the kitchen, exists only to be kidnapped and be the man's motivation.
Okay.
She bakes cakes and acts girly. And this is coming from Nintendo, so they made Samus like that too, why the fuck not? Which makes Dixie Kong their most independent, strong female character, as Poe mentioned yesterday. I don't know what's wrong with me. Hang on. The issue is that my voice, because of this setup, my voice echoes back to my headset, so I hear myself talk. It's kind of disorienting. Anywho, as Poe mentioned yesterday, Dixie Kong, strongest Nintendo female character. Not terribly sexist. She cries when she gets hit. But, I mean, she gets hit by giant, burly crocodiles. I'd cry, too.
Fair enough.
What about you? What's your experience with Skullgirls? describe.
I'm getting my ass kicked. I don't know if it's just the PSN network, seeing as they do have the lesser of the two networks, but even if I get into a game that has less than 60 millisecond ping time, I have lag out the frickin' rear end, and I'm on a 50 meg connection. It's not my connection.
That is bizarre. I have no input lag because GGPO, that's rollback netcode, right? Well, I shouldn't say no lag. My GGPO rollback or frames, whatever, is set to 2 frames, and I haven't changed it. I just don't play opponents that go above 130 ping. And I'll show you the next time you're over here. I don't have any lag at all. Like, are you having input lag or rollback lag?
Screen lag.
Oh, so it's choppy.
Yeah, very.
This could be an issue of the various networks. You're on the North American West Coast server or whatever they have set up, right?
I've tried all of them already.
Huh. Bizarre. I'll have to take a look next time I'm there. You have to show me.
Other than that, though, it's been okay. I mean, some players are definitely in brackets they shouldn't be. I mean, the pain wheel ass raping I had, I think I did maybe a millimeter of damage before she tore me to little pieces.
Was she really grab happy?
If I jumped, I got hurt. If I stayed put, I got hurt. If I tried to hit her, I got hurt.
Painwheel has that ability where she can hold a move, and if you hit her, any damage you do is returned back to you when she lets go. So you gotta be careful there. She's supposed to be this game's Sentinel, so she can fly and has big heavy moves.
Fair enough. I don't think any character is broken from what I've seen. I am noticing, at least the guys that I was fighting, they stuck to one character. The only person I played that had two characters, I defeated very quickly.
I noticed that until I was playing today. As I said, I theorize I've been bumped up a bracket, and now I'm encountering teams, and they're really showing me the power of a team. I fought a Peacock Sarabella double team that perfected me. I couldn't get anywhere near them. Peacock was filling the screen with shit, calling the double assist where she turns into Sarabella and dashes at you, and called the Sarabella Saracopter assist whenever I got close. But I didn't feel I couldn't get past it. I just felt I wasn't experienced enough to do so, which is why I'm hitting the books, which is checking the Shoryuken wiki for Skullgirls and seeing what my options are. I may have to add a second character to my one-man Sarabella team.
I thought you'd have to from the get-go, but better for you to realize on your own.
Well,
you can lead the donkey to water, but you can't make Carlos drink.
That's actually pretty funny. The thing, Mike Z said, one-man teams are probably going to be the overall weakest option in the end, but they're still going to have their own strengths and weaknesses. And he kind of wanted it that way. You know, you're managing more than one character, you have more options. Your downfall is that you take damage like a bitch and you hit like a pussy, but it doesn't matter if you can control the match from start to finish. That single character has to hit like a mock truck or they'll never stand a chance.
True. Unlike, Street Fighter X Tekken, where everybody seems to be going to one character.
Well,
that's kind of funny.
It seems that in that game, from the videos I've watched, there's a small top tier that can basically convert any mistake into a 50% combo. Novril, who is better known as Zangatrol, you should look him up on YouTube, he's great. Not you specifically, Dave, people who are listening. He said something on Twitter that I think rings true. He said Street Fighter Cross Tekken is like Third Strike Chun-Li mirror match with every character. So every character is just fishing for that low forward into super. And that's what every character does. They're fishing for a move to chain it into a 50% combo twice in every match to finish the match.
Ugh.
Watching the streams of that game, it is not interesting to watch at all. And this is coming from a guy who can watch games he does not find interesting. I've watched BlazBlue streams, even though I don't care for BlazBlue, because the mind games and the dynamics and shit going on is intriguing. I watched Street Fighter Cross Tekken. I want to fall asleep permanently with a bullet to my face. Sorry. Without my anti-bullet gem equipped and active.
Aww. No, I agree with you. I've looked at a little bit too, just to sort of get a feel for it. And I was really hoping it was going to be this generation's version of Capcom versus SNK2. Because I loved that game.
At the beginning, it looked like the EX Groove version of CVS2. And since the only people we played were each other in EX Grooves for funsies, because we didn't take that game seriously, that looked like it would be a lot of fun. But then this whole jam nonsense came along, and then very shallow gameplay on top of that. It's just not worth it. Speaking of CVS2, I think Skullgirls does the ratio thing a little better, because in that game, you really wanted three characters all the time, a ratio 2 and 2 ratio 1s. In fact, in the first game, where you could pick a team of 4 ratio 1s, that's all you ever wanted. They were the best characters.
I don't know, you tended to have fun kicking my ass with one level 3.
Keep in mind, we weren't playing that game seriously, right? So I'd occasionally pick a ratio 4 and win, and you do the same thing, but we weren't really playing the game. If you watch any tourney at all, it was all 2-1-1, 2-1-1, 2-1-1, every time.
Fair enough.
Whereas, well, Skullgirls is still in its infancy, yes. And it seems like it's up in the air right now which ratio is best, or which characters are great at which ratios. Like Parasol seems like she has all the tools to be good by herself. Just as an example. I could be totally wrong by the time this podcast hits the air.
Could be. No, I think they've really done it right with Skullgirls. Both the art style, the way it plays, it's just good fun, which feels is something good. That a lot of fighters tend to lack these days. I mean, I get my ass kicked, and it's not the frustrating mess that, say, a Street Fighter match would be, which would be a mess anyway because of the lack of GGPO code.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think, for all its systems, Skullgirls is very simple, but it's also very, very elegant in that simplicity. Like, it's not muddled with things it doesn't need. It doesn't have 8 bazillion systems like Street Fighter Cross Tekken messing up its core gameplay.
I would like to see a re-release of Capcom vs. SNK2, though. I really would.
You're missing all the systems in that game. You won't be able to roll
forward and back. I'm missing our old competitions that we had. Give me that game. Give me the proper network code, because I'm just going to mess it up again if I try and say it again, and I'll be happy.
The only issue is you probably won't be allowed to play EX Grooves online, and truth be told, I never got into that game seriously, so the only thing I care about playing CVS2 is EX Grooves for funsies against other EX Groove users.
Yeah, that which should is, be again, an option.
Well, it really shouldn't be, because EX Grooves are totally not balanced out. The game wasn't made around them. They were just a fun option for the home user. Ideally, the game will have all its systems in place where they're all like balanced around those systems. Like in Skullgirls, it has chain combos, but so do EX Grooves. But in Skullgirls, the whole game is built around chain combos, so it's not game-breaking, and that's part of the game. I'd rather have that.
Well,
that's
a bit
of a ramble, but
I would still like the game, but I'll allow an option to allow EX Grooves. It's a flag. It's not hard to do. We're not talking infinite loop JavaScript thing. We're talking a simple flag of, do you want to face people with an EX Groove?
I think
don't even make it rated. Just have it as you said, a funsy thing.
And that would be fun, but I don't really miss CVS2 either. It was pretty. It had lots of characters, and the SNK characters were all redrawn, and this was pre-King of Fighters 12, so they hadn't had new sprite in like 57 years, so it was cool to see that. But I think I like the more chain combo-y fighter anyway. MVC2, when I briefly played it in the arcade, and Skullgirl seems like a really well-made version of that.
I would like you to stop insulting Skullgirls now, please.
Well, when Mike Z made Skullgirls, he was trying to make, in his own words, like a balanced MVC2.
Heresy.
And the game feels like it, but better.
I still say heresy. Do not put down Skullgirls by calling it MVC.
Is God a heretic for acknowledging Jesus? And is Mike Z a heretic for saying he was inspired by MVC2.
Damn atheists.
I can make fun of all religions. Prophet Muhammad and etc.
Yeah. I'd love to see it, but we probably won't. And if we did, they'd screw it up somehow.
Of course.
Wouldn't have proper GGBO code, or it would have lag or something. Capcom would find some way to fuck it up.
Yes, they would, which is why I'm not going to miss it. Someone, another Mike Z, will make a game for people who enjoyed CVS2, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be David Serlin. His Kickstarter is almost at 100% for his Puzzle Strike expansion, and I'm pretty sure by the time this hits the air, he'll have finished his funding. So this is a shout-out to David Serlin. Support his Kickstarter for the Puzzle Strike expansion. I think it's called Puzzle Strike. I think it's called Puzzle Strike Shadows.
Yeah, I played a little bit of it online. Seems like a good game. I haven't had enough time to really give it the justice that it's due, but I'm behind anything Serlin comes up with.
He is a smart guy, and he designed smart systems, and people hate him for it, and I don't understand why.
Capcom fanboy syndrome.
I know. It's like, he'll make a balanced game, he'll solve problems, and people will be like, fucking Serlin, why is he breaking what ain't broke? It is, if you make a thread about Serlin on Shoryuken, it becomes polarizing on page one. You will have people rightly calling out where he's done well. You'll have some of his critics who'll point out legitimate criticisms, and most of them will just shit on him because, I don't know, they get off. Like, shitting on Serlin produces semen that they need to release. It's disgusting what people masturbate to.
Okay there!
I'm not sure Serlin was looking for that kind of publicity, but I'm certain he won't mind any kind at all.
Bottom line is, Serlin has done an amazing job. He actually thinks about the players. He doesn't like infinites and shit like that.
He doesn't like unnecessary execution requirements. He's okay with some, but not where they're arbitrarily hard just for the sake of it. So he wants his games to be accessible.
Accessible?
And I always respect that. Any designer who does that is a grade A designer in my book.
I mean, he wants everybody to be able to do all the moves, etc., whereas it flies in the face of the guys who are elitists that want just them to be able to pull things off. Roman cancels and Guilty Gear.
I know, and it's so irritating. They'll argue that, you know, this dexterity should be rewarded, and I'm like, why? Why not reward the strategy? Why not reward the people who thinks? The people who think. It's just puzzling to me. Anywho, Serlin is great. This is quickly turning into the Plug Serlin podcast. Maybe he'll start a Kickstarter for Fantasy Strike, the 2D fighter, which I know he would like to make. So if he does, and it's successful, we might see our kind of more down-to-earth, footsie-based fighter. So we'll have that and Skullgirls, and we'll never need to play any other fighting game again.
That'd be nice.
It would be nice. Tell you what.
I mean, we've gone through Skullgirls, and we've started to turn this into a more of a fighter podcast, which I don't mind at all, because, let's face it, fighters are interesting to talk about.
They are interesting to talk about. So here's an interesting one. The upcoming Dragon Ball Z for Kinect. Is that going to be a fighter?
You tell me. I haven't heard a thing about this game.
Oh, well, all I know is Dragon Ball Z on the Kinect. I haven't actually read about it either. I probably shouldn't have brought it up, eh?
Well, I mean, let's face it, the Dragon Ball Z games have had one hell of a lot of different iterations, and if they're bringing it to Kinect, that's going to be bonkers.
I always thought Dragon Ball was the right kind of game to make a virtual on, behind your back, high-flying, shoot loads of shit at other people fighter.
Yes.
And that if there was going to be a versus fighter that did that perspective, it should be Dragon Ball Z versus DC Universe.
Okay.
Goku versus Superman. In 3D. On Kinect? No. God, no.
I mean, I guess we should really say at this point that you and I are not diehard professional fighters by any means of the imagination. I mean, you're way more hardcore than I am, and by saying hardcore is rather funny for either one of us. I play it for the fun of it. I like to learn lots of characters and not specialize really in any, really. I like to be able to play everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I know in the past you've tried to specialize in a couple different characters and I've gotten angry with you for it because I want to play other characters. But, I mean, truthfully,
if I were to describe myself, I would say that at Fighters, I strive to be the intermediate player. I kind of want to be the guy who knows how to call a match, how to watch a match, how to point out why this player won, and how to be good enough to beat the average scrub. And that seems to be my plateau. I don't really want to be better than that. Maybe if I had more time, I'd practice more and try to be better than that. I don't have that time.
Fair enough. I mean, you and I did put a lot of hours into games like, do Smash Brothers Brawl and Melee, but that was more because it was a party setting for multiple players. But
quite a bit of Soul Calibur 2 there for a while, and even 1, I think.
Yeah, more Soul Calibur 2. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we put that a lot because that was a solid game.
Actually, well, yeah, if you go to 8-Way Run, that game is not remembered very fondly. It was actually very broken. Not at our level, but at the professional level. I think, there were huge, huge ban lists to make that game even remotely balanced.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you and I had pretty much every Guilty Gear game that came out.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and we had a lot of good times with it.
Secretly, I still kind of want to play Guilty Gear, because I wasn't playing on a stick at the time, and I was only playing at funsies, just like CVS2. I kind of want a Guilty Gear-esque game to play on a stick with great netcode. I'm hoping that the upcoming Persona 4 Arena is that game. We'll see.
I kind of want my characters back from Guilty Gear. Just get rid of the Roman Cancel stuff, and I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Ever bothered you and I because we couldn't do it.
I occasionally did a Roman Cancel on a pad. I would occasionally pull Kai's heavy stunnage and then Roman Cancel it to make it appear in the air, which had zero tactical value.
Okay.
Yes.
Which tells you how close I was watching then, because I never noticed you ever do one.
I saw the blue spark come up. I was proud of myself.
Glad one of us was.
I'm going to brag a little bit here. I would love when you got very projectile happy against my Zappa, and then I would activate instant kill mode, and then you'd fire a projectile, I'd run under it, and command grab you for an instant death move.
Yeah, you were good at doing shit like that. Then again, I was good at messing with your head with lots of characters.
You had a great Zappa for irritating the shit out of me. I just wish you would be even more irritating and convert that into solid wins so that you could be my eternal rival. That's why I want you to learn Misfortune and do that shit with her head.
You know, I'm actually I guess we're back to Skullgirls a little bit in this conversation, but that is one character I'm starting to get a little bit disappointed in. I'm finding the controls for the head are nowhere near as tight as they should be.
It's just heavy punch.
Yes, but when I go ahead and I try and do, you suggested trying to do the half circles for her moves, try and get them to come out?
Yeah.
They still don't do very well coming out. I'm kind of disappointed in the control, especially after getting used to doing Zappa and everything else.
Well, keep in mind this. Zappa, there were certain instances that his dog or whatever would still do a move when he's blocking. I think Miss Fortune has some things built in where if she's blocking certain moves or getting hit, she can't actually do a head move. I could be wrong there. But her head is not supposed to be a better version of Zappa's dog. In fact, it's probably supposed to be a worse version, but that
can
persistently be out. You don't lose it when you get hit.
I'm just finding that I can't strategically tell the head to do a grab and then try and do a punch. Because the punch will always knock out me doing the grab, for instance.
Well, in that case, if you hit the enemy, they might get pulled out of range of the grab. Because the head moves don't stop you from doing your own moves. So maybe try sticking them when you're doing other moves.
Oh, I'm talking a punch from across the screen. I'm not talking hitting the person. Yeah, again, it might just be me not doing things right. I might just be not have gotten used to it yet, and I'm cool with that.
It could be that you haven't played Fighters in a while. I know you haven't played 2D Fighters in some time before this.
Yeah, I played a little bit of Street Fighter 2 on on Xbox.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
A little bit.
We should totally play that game. Street Fighter 2 games are great, except possibly the original. And even then, it was pretty good. Better than Street Fighter 3 and 4. I think I'd rather play Fighter 1.
I'm going to give a call out now for a good old fighter that we played that was broken as hell, Air Gates.
Oh, Air Gates. You know, there's actually an FAQ on game FAQs that was very in-depth, and I got a lot of strategy just reading it. That's how I know that Tifa was not as good as Masuda, but she definitely seemed a lot better and had a lot more options, whereas Masuda had one really good option, and that's why he dominated. But that game, it wasn't terribly balanced, but if it was, that game would have been a lot of fun. I think it's underrated, personally.
I'd love to see a new version of it.
It had a lot of things that were kind of audacious for a fighter to have. It had actual 3D different arenas, like the arena affected the matchup. It had items you could pick up, but that worked, unlike in Smash, where they were random ways to get yourself killed. It had a special move button and a special move bar like Art of Fighting. Come to think of it, I think Art of Fighting is the last time I saw that particular mechanic. Very stuttery today. I don't know why. I was just typing there to get my screensaver off my screen.
And didn't even hear it.
Good. And the characters were very different from one another. For the most part, there were some clone characters, like Cloud and Sephiroth were Ryu and Ken, and Vincent and Godhand. There were some clone characters, but for the most part, they were unique and interesting. The game was a lot of fun, the fighting part.
Even the RPG part was kind of cool.
It was a pretty game. I'm going to give it that. That was a PlayStation 1 game. That looked quite a bit better than that system should be capable of doing. It looked like a Dreamcast game on that PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
It seriously did, man. It was beautiful. I want to know what the fuck Squaresoft had going in their favor to make graphics like that on the PlayStation 1.
Hey, next game we had lots of fun with. Pocket Fighter. Pocket Fighter was a great game for fun.
You know, there were tiers and strategies and combos I found online, but I definitely only played it for fun. It was so cool to watch the costumes, basically. And I would love to have seen a Pocket Fighter 2 with, like, mini Dante, mini Wolverine, if they get the Marvel license for mini Marvel characters.
That'd be cool. They kept on teasing us with avatars and everything else on PSN and Xbox, but I don't think we're ever going to get it.
A Pocket Fighter 2, you mean?
No, a Pocket Fighter 1 released on PSN or Xbox.
Well, Super Gem Fighter, which was the arcade version of that, was part of the Street Fighter Alpha anthology, and if that ever comes out on PSN, it'll be part of that collection.
I guess.
It won't have the extras the console did, like that weird adventure mode, but who the fuck cares?
I still have a copy of it for PlayStation 1. I still kind of want to hook up my PS2 and play it every now and then.
Well, if you do and I'm over, I'll play it with you.
Oh, I know you will. Won't give you a choice.
Pocket Fighter, you know, that game it didn't have one button specials, but it had a special button that made supers easier to do.
Yep.
And Air Gates had a special move button. And Smash Brothers has a special move button. And those are three different qualities of game. I always thought you could do a 2D fighter where you have a light, medium, and heavy attack button. Maybe not punch and kick. Maybe it doesn't need to be six buttons. But then you could have a special move button for your special moves, so you don't need to do motions for the moves.
I agree. However,
there are some considerations. If you import Ryu to that system, and you assign a slow Hadouken to neutral button, and a fast Hadouken to forward button, where button is that special button, you need to have some more startup than normal, because it takes real-world time to input that command. However, here's the kicker. When you cancel into those Hadoukens, that startup has to be cut out. Because if you cancel it in a game with motions, the 2-in-1 cancels out the startup of that move. Like, okay, the real-world time that it took to input that motion was eaten up by the move you canceled into it with. So such a system would have to take that into consideration. Guile couldn't have instant sonic booms and still have zero recovery after them, or he'd be broken as shit.
Okay, I can agree with you on that.
I think You could do charge characters in that system. Just have it so that they have to hold down or back for a couple seconds before tapping the button for the move to come out. I don't know. Just brainstorming here.
It would work. You'd have to do a lot of balancing.
Yes, it would. You couldn't just port a Street Fighter into it. A game from scratch would be the best way to do it.
Actually, I think we hit the nail right on the head with that. Testing. Player testing, specifically. Skullgirls did a metric fuck ton of that. They actually gave a damn.
Ton is a metric unit.
It is now.
Okay, good. That's all the proof I need.
I say it is, therefore it fucking is.
I'm masturbating to this right now. Don't worry about it.
Sounds good.
Excellent.
Hopefully a metric fuck ton.
Now, that's just out of line. Gross. Sicko. Anywho, go on. Testing Skullgirls.
Got a little bit sidetracked there for a second.
Just a little bit.
I don't remember hearing or really seeing anywhere near as much beta testing, if you will, with Street Fighter X Tekken.
Well, here's what happened. Capcom took it to events. They invited high-level players. They invited people like Maximilian. I think Ed Boon was even at one of their booths when they were interviewing. Like, they saw Ed Boon at the show, they invited him to come play the game, and he wouldn't play the game. And a lot of the early iterations of it, they had the chain combos in place, the tagging, and that's like it. And a lot of Street Fighter 4 veterans were saying, whoa, this is like an extension of Street Fighter 4 and a whole lot of fun. Man, I can't wait till this game comes out. And that was before they added like Pandora mode, the gems, the various convoluted gameplay systems that would eventually form the whole of Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Capcom does invite high-level players, but clearly not enough of them. At least not nearly as many as Mike Z did. He took it to, like, every con in the U.S., got in-depth testing, and he was building the game in Lua, so I guess he was able to change shit on the fly. Like, he'd get some feedback on a Friday, and on a Saturday of the same con or whatever, he'd have a new build of the game.
Yeah.
And when I say con, I mean, like, a fighting game tournament, not a convention specifically. And he'd have a whole new build of the game with different, like in one case, Parasol's tears, they used to stay out indefinitely. And then when he heard feedback that this was kind of broken, the next day, the tears blew up after a few seconds.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, that guy, he has got to be exhausted now. Like, he probably had days of sleep debt accumulated, seriously.
Wouldn't surprise me, but he also cared.
Yes, he did. The thing about Mike Z, he played so many games at a tournament level. I think he played Weapon Lord, that Atari 3D Fighter that everyone forgot about. All three of them. I don't know how many there were. I think he played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters. I think he played competitive Smash at one point. Like, he's played every game competitively under the sun. He was a big Third Strike player, too. And he played everything, man. He was a BlazBlue tournament player. He did the Iron Tiger tutorial video, Real Soviet Damage. That was him.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's done everything. He is knowledgeable as shit. And he gives a shit. And that's the best thing you could ask for in a fighting game developer. Plus, Alex Ahad, the designer of the world of the characters, also gives a shit about the IP. So you got a winning combination there.
Let's not forget the music.
The music. Symphony of the Night composer, Michiru. The Symphony of the Night composer.
Good recovery.
Yamane, is that her name?
I couldn't tell you.
Anywho, Symphony of the Night composer. I feel like I'm insulting her not knowing her name. I'm sorry, whatever your name is, son, whatever the suffix is I use. Your music is great, though. Thank you for it. She did not do the character select theme. That was someone else.
Okay. Oh, no, she didn't do everything.
I like the character select theme. I don't got a problem with it. Great music. Very important in fighting games, I think. Music needs to frame the action. It can't be too distracting. I thought BlazBlue's was a little too over-the-top synth opera rock. It was, you know, I was listening to it and I'm like, what the hell is this? And I couldn't pay attention to what was going on screen. In Guilty Gear, it was definitely rockin', but it never seemed intrusive.
Okay, I'll give you that. I've got a number of soundtracks from Guilty Gear, and I love it.
It's a great soundtrack. In Street Fighter 3, it was very, like, hip-hop-ish, but it still wasn't intrusive. You know, there was... It fit the fight, basically. It fit a fight going on screen. It was very, very high-energy music. And Skullgirl seems high-energy, but also well-composed. Each stage has a theme, and those stages are telling a story, and the music's part of that. And I really like that. There are no individual character themes, though, because there are no individual character stages. And that's something that we don't see a lot of in fighting games.
There are stages that seem like they are more centered around certain characters, like I don't know the name of the stage. That's a problem.
Tell me what it is, and I'll tell you.
It's the outdoor stage where there is water behind you, but a whole bunch of people on raised houses.
Yes, that's Little Innsmouth.
Yeah, that seems very much like a Miss Fortune stage, just because of how her storyline opens.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I think that's where she's been staying in her storyline as well. But what I mean is, there isn't the Ryu stage or the Ken stage anymore. Like, you don't go to Ken's boat and hear only his theme as you fight Ken anymore. There are universal everybody stages and the boss stage. That seems to be the norm in fighting games now.
Okay, I'll give you that. Let's talk modes within games.
Yes.
Or not even modes. Let's talk features that are missing when they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to aim at Capcom for this. Random stage select.
They fixed that in Ultimate MVC3, but not in regular MVC3. Oh.
Okay, and how about every other game under the sun?
I don't know.
Did they fix it in Street Fighter versus Cross Tekken?
I don't know why you keep asking me these Street Fighter Cross Tekken questions like I own the game. I didn't buy it, and I don't plan to.
Yeah, but you're my resource for everything bad with that game.
I guess. Truth be told, while that's a feature of convenience, it's not a deal breaker. Like, if Skullgirls didn't do that, thankfully it does, I wouldn't go, "Fuckers, give me back my 1,200 Microsoft points." Same thing with the in-game move list thing. It should have an in-game move list, but that's not a deal breaker. It's a nice to have.
Much more
important to have proper button config, which it does, and Capcom Fighters don't. In Capcom Fighters, you go to each button, and you scroll through a long list of possible commands. It takes forever. In Skullgirls, you go to each function, you tap the button you want. It takes 2 seconds.
Yes.
HD Remix, same thing. Sirlin was in charge of that one. And he ensured that shit worked that way. We talked about a lot of fighters, the history of them, what we remember. Do you know there were some fighters on the NES?
Yeah, but let's give a call out in the last 5 minutes here to a fighter game series that was really the reason why fighters came back for a while.
Go on.
Mortal Kombat.
Which one?
Just Mortal Kombat in general. Fighters were starting to die out. Mortal Kombat came out. And basically brought back the genre.
Well, I would argue that Street Fighter 4 did that. For as flawed as the game was, it really influenced, like, even that new 2D Mortal Kombat. Ed Boon directly said, Street Fighter 4 is the reason we're doing this. But truth be told, Ed Boon kept cranking out Mortal Kombat games. He didn't stop. And SNK kept cranking out King of Fighters. So not everyone gave up when Capcom did.
I guess, like, for a lot of people back then, the ideal fighter was Street Fighter. So because it wasn't around, I guess the fighters were dead.
Well, Street Fighter 2 started this whole thing. Every competitive fighting game to this day owes it to Street Fighter 2 and Capcom's accidental hit.
Even Street Fighter 1, how much of a joke you are.
Even Skullgirls, Mike Z was influenced by Marvel vs. Capcom 2, a very good game. By complete accident. It was a huge mashup of systems and characters that Capcom did not even try to balance. And it ended up working because enough characters had enough broken shit that it kind of balanced out anyway. And it gave the assist and team dynamic game. And yeah, like, Skullgirls owes a lot to MVC2. And MVC2 was a total accident. So while we're shitting on Capcom, let's not forget they pioneered quite a few things that these better games now use wholesale.
Okay. Shout out.
Oh, yeah. shout out as in, I don't know what you
like,
mean.
Like what? I'm having a hard time thinking.
Okay. Well, Skullgirls and MVC2 is one example. Street Fighter 4 did the whole people crumple when you jab them thing or when you hit them with a certain type of move. And now crumples are part of, like, every fighting game under the sun. Even Skullgirls has crumpling. When you finish someone with a jab, they crumple Street Fighter 4 style. That got popularized during that game.
Okay.
Street Fighter 3 and EX moves. Street Fighter 4 borrowed that. The latest King of Fighters had that. Mortal Kombat 9 had that. EX moves became really popular because of Street Fighter 3. And Street Fighter 2 pioneered the whole idea of, like, combo strategy and controlling space and the importance of positioning in a 2D arena. And that's what every 2D fighter has used. Like, even games that deviated, like Virtua Fighter and Tekken, still have that basic formula going on. So Capcom has done, for all their follies lately, they've done quite a lot for us. And we need to remember that they've done quite a lot for us, for this genre, really.
Well, I mean, they gave us some great characters. They've given us some good games down the years. I mean, there has the occasional fighter they've done has been good. You could even say great. And I'm not just talking from a tournament standpoint. I'm talking from an enjoyment standpoint. On the other hand, they've had a large number of failures to learn from. We should honor what they've done in the past to a point, but they're not learning from the past. They've forgotten it almost.
Yeah, that is true. It's like they've forgotten the lessons they themselves have taught. They've forgotten.
Yeah, it's like a teacher who is trying to, you know, teach division and has forgotten addition and subtraction.
Just like Velen's Lesson, the latest leader story on the World of Warcraft website. And while I don't do too much WoW hyping, even though I like the game I played, I don't take it too seriously, that's a really cool story about a leader who has to learn from his apprentice, just like Capcom had to learn. And that's my segue into nothing, apparently.
Yeah, more of a ending point, if you will. Yeah, no, yes. I mean, Capcom still has a lot of stuff to work with. They've got to take a beating to finally learn from their mistakes. But I don't think, thanks to the fans, that they're going to learn anything from CrossTekken. They're still going to make their money. They're still going to rate people over the goals. And people are still going to play at tournaments because they've got no choice.
Well, Novril Tataki, again, Zangatrol, really wishes people wouldn't act like sheep that way. They wouldn't just flock to the latest tourney game and actually play the games worth playing, like Skullgirls. It's sad, though, because sponsorships are a big thing these days, and Capcom actually throws money at the tournament scene, and so does NetherRealm and Namco Bandai and all these companies, right? So there's a lot of pressure to learn the games. Like, Mortal Kombat 9, for better or worse, I heard it was a fine game. I never got into it. I never bought it. But hey, any American-based fighter that does well is great. However, Justin Wong, like, he played it at several tournaments, and I'm not entirely sure it's because he wanted to, because I don't think he's a big Mortal Kombat player. Though if I'm wrong, Justin Wong, please call me. Tell me I'm wrong. Call me. My number's in the stall 7 on the right. Right above the gives blowjobs for free sign. Also me. No homo.
Uh-huh.
Nice. I have to go, Dave.
Okay, bud.
All right. So this has been Dave
and Carlos.
Two fat guys talk games. And yeah, see you out there. And I'm going to hit stop now.